On August 28, 1963, a quarter of a million people, 250,000 people, in the United States marched on Washington, D.C. The reason they marched was to get for African Americans the ability to hold jobs and experience freedom, things that you and I take for granted in this world. There were 10 speakers chosen to speak that day. And just before the event started, the sound system that they had that was quite extravagant and expensive, they discovered had been sabotaged. And so many of the people there that day never got to hear a single speech. The volume just couldn't carry. So Martin Luther King steps up. And he gives a speech on freedom, on the civil rights. And the first half was okay. But there was a singer, part of his choir, a singer behind him by the name of Mahalia Jackson, who was not convinced that Martin Luther King was really giving it his all. And so when King said, quite audibly, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal," Jackson intervened. It's a true story. He's standing there and he's like, "Martin, tell him your dream." See, Martin held this dream, this vision within him, and his speech wasn't doing it any justice. Mahalia knew this. "Tell him your dream, Martin." And so he steps away from his speech, from what was prepared and what was written, and he starts to share his dream. "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood." And he went on and on in words that you will likely clearly remember. He paints a picture of the future God wanted for humanity. A picture that resonated so deeply with what so many held as essential. A picture that called things back to what would happen if God was in charge and people knew God's love. A picture meant that the way things were now would not be how they would look in the future. A vision does that. It captures our hearts. It stirs our passions. It awakens our imaginations. And then our devotion and our behavior, they follow. King's speech was the catalyst from which the Civil Rights Act in 1964 and then the Voting Rights Act in 1965 were established, from a speech that most of the people there that day couldn't actually hear. We'll get to that in due course. You see, from that point on, racism started to become unacceptable in the world. And as time crawled forward, the realization of Martin Luther King's vision became evident. But visions do that, don't they? They creep forward until one day we find ourselves in a brand new reality and we go, "How did we get here?" Because we like it and it's fairly different. This is what we dreamt about and prayed about and talked about, but it just crept. 3 years ago, we were two separate churches. Didn't have anything to do with each other than the use of this building. Absolutely impossible vision that we should ever be sitting here today as one church. Impossible, except by the grace and the power of God. You see, what we see as impossible, God says, "I will bring that to be. I will make a reality out of that." We cannot judge a vision based on our fear or how big our imagination is or what we think is possible. We must lend ourselves to what God says is possible. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus had a vision for the church. He had a vision for all of humankind. It's set out in Revelation 21. Shirley just read it to us. God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the old order of things is gone. It has passed away. It's a vision where Jesus dreams and he sees this picture of a new version of earth and a new version of heaven, where Jesus gets to live with his people forever, where heartbreak and loss and tragedy and sickness, they are vanquished, they're just not allowed, as God's love and has the freedom just to shape everything. Jesus' vision is a culmination of what the church will become. The passion and eagerness that we and every other congregation on this planet pour into their vision, pour into our vision, is a direct contribution of the raw ingredients that Jesus will use to see his vision for humankind fulfilled. It's why our vision echoes Jesus' vision. The first part of our vision, and we'll talk more in detail about this in just a moment, is about unity with God. The second is about helping those who don't know that God loves them discover God's love, God loves them, and experience that unity with God in life. Now, it's more than likely that when Jesus was talking with his disciples, he had his vision in mind constantly. He was calling people to it and healing and leading people to it constantly. So when his disciples says, "Jesus, what's the most important thing?" Matthew 22, Jesus says, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one's not too far behind. Love your neighbor as yourself." What an incredible picture of humanity Jesus calls us toward. Loving God and finding our security in him so significantly that it empowers us with a love to love every single other person in our lives and who God brings into our lives. It powerfully and so simply captures all of the principles Jesus taught, everything brought into these beautiful few words, while also explaining that if you don't love others, you can't truly love God. Revelation 21 is the culmination of what everyone would look like, what the world would look like if everyone believed Matthew 22. Which is why in our vision, we wanted to ensure that loving God is and always will be the priority. If we stop loving God, forget it, go home, there's no point. See, the internal health and life of our church is determined quite literally by the love of God, which is a beautiful and incredible thing. Knowing God's love, embracing God's love, trusting God's love is the reason we are alive. It's the whole purpose for your being. If you ever wondered what should you do with your life, love God, everything else will take care of itself. It's out of knowing and sharing God's love that we have our very being. Honestly, if we were about this all the time, all of us, all the time, we would see radical transformation happen before our eyes. If we laid down ourselves utterly and completely and were just about the love of God, I don't know how difficult that is, it's hard. But if we were, we would see radical transformation take place. So to harness the power of this, for our time and our place here in Burley, we've been given these following words to shape the next 5 years. This is the first half. By 2029, Burley Village Uniting Church will be a vibrant, faithful, multi-generational church with a passionate hunger for God. We will be a unified body of believers who are being transformed into whole-of-life disciples, are unashamed in our beliefs, and equipped to fulfill our calling using our unique gifts serve. That's not quite as stunning as what John brought to us in Revelation 21, is it? It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to replace it or match it or be a better version, but it's meant to lead people toward it, toward Jesus' ultimate vision for humanity, toward the glory of God and the greatness of God. You see, our vision, it isn't about us. It needs to happen at the cost of us. Quite literally, we need to pay in our lives for God's vision to become what God wants it to be. The vision before us over the next 5 years is what it looks like when God's kingdom comes into a church and when that kingdom then reaches from the church into the community. The church being the fullest version of a well of hope and a light on the hill and a living, breathing love that will transform everything. It starts with us. It starts with you, it starts with me, it starts today. It starts with this passionate hunger that we need to feed, a passionate hunger for God, a spiritual vibrancy that comes out of that, with a commitment to be for one another, with a devotion to Jesus that we get fed on during the week. So today is a celebration of what God has been doing in us. with the realization that what God has called and equipped us to do, that we are dedicated to fulfill that with a growing, unashamed reliance on and a witness about the glorious and faithful and unfailing faithfulness of God. The vision of God that God has given us is about the power first shaping our lives and then that power shaping what our world looks like. It's a taste, it's a glimpse of what the angel declared. You remember he said, look, like he was summoning all of creation to see what God was doing. Just look. God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. What? They will be with his people and God himself will be with them and they will be there and he will be their God. Jesus carried this vision. It literally broke into the world wherever he went. Which is why when he departed in human form and he left the Holy Spirit, he didn't want to leave things up to chance. He didn't want to just go at it, have a good one. He actually wanted to commission us, to challenge us, to give us a charge. And so he says this in Matthew 28, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so go. You go and make disciples. Go on. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always. Like to the very end of the age, beyond what you could possibly imagine, I will be there. Just go and make disciples. A commission entrusted to the entire church. Here's the bad news for you. Not just paid pastors. It's not just my commission that I have to carry around. It's not gifted elders or anointed preachers or leaders. It belongs to each of us, every single person who says they believe in Jesus. It's a commission we had to reflect in the second half of our vision. We had to have a vision that conveyed this commission. And so we were given these words for our time and our place. This is the second part of our vision. We will be known across Burley and have a kingdom presence and impact in targeted corners of our community, where people will be overwhelmed by the love of Jesus, drawn to an irresistible hope and transformed by the gospel. We see our place on the hill in the center of Burley, fit to serve our local needs, and a gathering place where people are brought from far and wide. And we see a church that is multiplying across the region with a local and wider impact for his glory. That vision that God has given us, it expresses the power to see people's lives transformed by God's love. And God entrusted us with it. Like you and me. I know he doesn't know what he's doing if he entrusted you and I with it, but he did. He did. It's just like when Jesus utters the first words of his commission. He's telling all of those who believe and everyone who would believe from that point, go. Go and make disciples. That was it. Go and make disciples. It's the instruction for you guys, for me. It's the instruction for us. Hear this from Jesus' lips. Go and make disciples. Go on. This morning, when I was preparing this, practicing this, I got to this point, and Hamish put up his hand. He just likes to sit while I do this, and he says, Dad, are you going to leave it there? I said, oh, I should, shouldn't I? He goes, you definitely should. Just leave it there and watch him go make disciples. Attaboy. So there's a little bit more to say, just a little bit more. But if you're feeling uncomfortable, just a little bit uncomfortable when you engage in this vision, when you hear that challenge from Jesus, when you understand the command of Jesus, that is wonderful news. You should feel uncomfortable. We should all be gripped with the sense of, it's impossible. It's humanly unattainable. It's intimidating. It's so grand. That is what a vision from God is meant to do, where we think it's impossible except for the grace of God. That's when we know there's something of God in this. That's the place that we need to sit in order to bring a kingdom presence to the targeted corners in our community. Mission corners. Now, we have missional corners already. We have Friendship Club on a Wednesday. That is a missional corner. It is a place where people who aren't familiar with the gospel come and do life. Playgroup on Fridays. It is a missional corner where people who don't know Jesus come to receive something of Christ. If you're a Christian in those places, the people who aren't Christians need you to show them Christ. It's our commission. Just go make disciples. We have other missional corners. We have Walk With Us is a missional corner. Burley Head State School is a missional corner. These are places or people groups that God is already at work in, that God is already active in and wants us to collaborate more and more and more with Him. We have committed to establishing an op shop here in our church, the central focus of which is to be a missional outreach to the community, to see more people encounter Jesus. Now, you'll hear a lot more about that in the coming weeks and months, but be praying into it. Please pray into it. Our youth ministry, our soon-to-be young adults ministry, who are all, half of which are youth leaders who are getting commissioned at the Burley Church of Christ this morning because we do a joint youth ministry with them. That's where why they're absent. If you're looking around and going, small youth ministry, they're all doing God's work just elsewhere this morning. They are potential missional corners. They are places that God is saying to us as a church, go, make disciples. I will be with you always. Guaranteed, absolutely, but you go and make disciples. And there's so much more to say about our vision, like so much more. And we will, I'll try to say it all over the coming weeks. I haven't even touched on the fact that we're going to do building developments to make the toilets downstairs more accessible, to sort out the front car park space and make the whole property more safe. I haven't talked about the likelihood of us buying a bus this year to enable people who can't come to church or can't come to Friendship Club or can't come to youth to have the opportunity to do so. That when we get large enough, that there's not enough seat, not enough space, car parks here, we have a bus that can bring people in. I haven't even talked about the possibility of us planting a church before the end of the year. We have exciting, challenging times ahead. It's God's vision. Thank goodness, mine wouldn't be as big. But to see God's desires come to pass, it requires all of us to be all in. So to enable you to move to that space, because we recognize like a 20-minute talk on this isn't enough. We recognize that. Next week, you'll have a study guide that you can mull over as a devotional. You can take into your small tables. You can use to help you explore and understand what it means to follow Jesus in this space, to what it means and the impact of the vision in your life. We'll give you a resource that will help you theologically understand and unpack every part of this vision so you can see how closely it relates and aligns with the scriptures. We'll be preaching through this up until Easter. We actually have a prayer meeting Tuesday through Friday on Zoom. Wouldn't it be amazing if half of us turn up Tuesday, the other half Wednesday? You can pick a night, turn up. Details are in your newsletter. But we need to pray our vision in. These things are well beyond our capacity. Well beyond. It's exciting, isn't it? Only by God. And then you guys will have to remember the vision word for word. Are you kidding me? It's a bit big, isn't it? Some of you have been thinking, it's a little bit big, Ralph. You're right. It is a bit big. You bonus points if you remember the vision word for word, absolutely. I have tried and failed miserably and unsuccessfully. That is not a requirement at all. But what we do want to do is take our vision and distill it in 5 or 6 words that enable the heart and the direction and the picture that this paints to be something we can communicate. And so a team of people have been working on this, and this is where we've got to so far. These 3 options: unconditionally loved for freedom in Jesus, encountering Jesus' love, transforming lives, trusting Jesus, restoring hope. Each part reflects the vision because it has two parts. It has an internal health and outward impact. It has a love God and love people element to it. But we need you, each of you. We want you to be part of us working out what it is, of working out what this slogan or this motto or this war cry is. So when anyone says to you, what's your church about? You can tell them the 5 or 6 words. Why do you go to church? Well, it's because of this. What does your church want to achieve? It's these 5 or 6 words. So we want to empower you, but we want your help to be able to do that. So to do that is a couple of things. You should have all got one of these when you came in. Did everyone get one of these? This might be the most important document we've handed out easily this year, but probably in our recent history. I'd encourage you to read that, and in it you will find these three options. So find those three options, and then I want you to spend the week prayerfully considering two things about these three options. The first is, which of these do you think is us, conveys us, sits with us? And the second thing is, God, is there a better option? Like, is there one that God gives you that you're like, oh, this has to be on the list? It's so important that we do this, because this is our vision. This isn't a vision put on you. This is our vision that God has been culminating over a number of months now. And so then what we're going to do next year, next week, so I need to, if God gives you something, and God, I'm going to put you on the time frame now. If God, if you give us something, needs to be before Saturday. Are we clear? Okay, I'm sorry. It's completely irreverent. Needs to be by Saturday, and it needs to come to me. Because I want to make sure it fits with the kind of the guidelines we have that are in here, they're all here, that enables people to communicate a vision that sticks, that's easy to talk about, that can be remembered, that reflects what our vision is. So we need that by next Saturday, and then on Sunday, here's the fun bit, we're going to vote. No one's name's going to be next to anything, you're just going to vote. And we're going to vote, and we'll see which one rises to the surface, and you know what? There might be two that are pretty close, and guess what we're going to do the week after? We're going to vote. Have a little bit of fun with it, but what we want is everybody to own this sense of this is our vision where God is leading us to. What we need to arrive at is words that enable the heart and the essence of God's vision to stick with our communication. Now, you'll recall Martin Luther King, the story I was telling at the start. He has this speech that changed the whole world. And most of the 250,000 people there that day didn't even get to hear it. You see how far that crowd goes back? It's just as wide. They didn't get to hear it. So how did it change the world? It's because they gossiped about it. They talked about it. They said, oh, if that's unbelievable. You know what he just said? He says he had this dream. This was, that couldn't happen, could it? But what if it could happen? Wow, what would it mean to be part of that? They didn't gossip about what wasn't working. They didn't gossip about the failure of the sound system. They didn't gossip about the boring first half of King's speech. They gossiped about the possibility that God could transform the whole world. And they gossiped about it, and as they gossiped about it, their hearts caught on fire with it. And they were drawn into it. It became theirs. Now, can't believe I'm going to encourage you to gossip. But here we go. I want you to talk about the vision this week. I want you to talk with others. I want you to capture the Spirit of God that sits in these words of what He is calling us toward. I want you to see where you fit in it. You each fit, you each play a very important role in it. I want this to become your own personal vision, that we carry this around, and this is why we are here. I want you to pray. I want you to obey what God tells you and how God tells you to get involved, because it's going to take all of us. You see, the vision that Martin Luther King spoke that day, it wasn't actually his vision. It wasn't actually his dream. It was God's. God gave him this dream. He took that dream. He made it his own, and he invited others in. This isn't my vision. It's not our church council's vision. It's not even a vision that belongs to all the leaders who gathered together a number of months ago from our church to listen and to receive from God. It's God's vision, which we've taken on and we're offering to you, that we might all get behind it, we might all own it and join with God to see something utterly impossible become a reality. So if your faith is at the place where you find yourself after hearing this going, yes, sign me up, I'm in, yes, I want to see the world changed, I want to be part of that, I want to make it my own, then I want to commission you with the following words. I'm going to put the words up, but I don't want these to be a surprise. In a moment, I'm going to invite anyone who would like to stand with me to commit themselves to this, to say these words. I commit myself to God's vision for Burleigh Village Uniting Church. I'm grateful for God's love, which has saved me. I will strive to be a vibrant, faithful, whole-of-life disciple, unashamed in my beliefs and eager to use my gifts to serve. I embrace God's kingdom invitation to live with him and be about the things he is about. I offer myself to God to use me as a catalyst for transformation in our community. I pledge to actively contribute to the realization of our vision, trusting in God's guidance and support for our church family. Amen. And just before we do that, I realize there's some of you here, you're here for the very first time. There's no expectation on you. If you're in a space where you're looking at your faith and you're like, I can't stand, that's totally okay. This isn't meant to be a sense where everyone stands up and you feel, no. We are all on a journey. That journey is different where we are with Christ, but this is a faith step. It's why we need to stand up. Those who sense, I want to put my faith in where God is leading us. And so if you want to take that action of step, if you want to take that step of faith, I'd invite you to stand because we're going to say these words together. Let's speak these words together. I commit myself to God's vision for Burley Village Uniting Church and am grateful for God's love which has saved me. I will strive to be a vibrant, faithful, whole-of-life disciple, unashamed of my beliefs and eager to use my gifts to serve. I embrace God's kingdom invitation to live with him and be about the things he is about. I offer myself to God to use me as a catalyst for transformation in our community. I pledge to actively contribute to the realization of our vision, trusting in God's guidance and the support of our church family. Amen. Would you like to all stand as we worship God together?